If you will open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We got a few more coming your way, Maddie. We're going to be looking this morning at verse 9 through 14. So we are continuing the study of following the King who writes an upside down world. And what does that look like? As we've learned in Luke 4, Jesus had this mission, and he got it from Isaiah and announced it in the synagogue there in his hometown that he has come to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, to announce good news. And we learned that this was more than just the physical limitations, but those who were the outcasts of society, that were marginalized, that were considered weak, unimportant, that Jesus paid special attention to. And we found in Luke 4, really through 9, the focus that Jesus had in his ministry and healing them and bringing them salvation. And then from chapter 9 on, really through 19, Luke focuses in on following him. What does it mean to follow someone like that? And so, not too surprising, it means walking with him and finding the marginalized, those who are unacceptable in society, and saying you are accepted by God if you acknowledge your need for him. And so in that same way, I think this parable that we're going to look at today is a great example of the theme that we find all throughout the book of Luke. Last week, we looked at prayers to the King. This week, we're going to look at prayers to the King again. And so we have kind of two different lessons that he is teaching about prayer. Last week, we looked at the prayer that Jesus hears, that God hears, and how that was a prayer for justice and a parable of the widow, and that we learn the contrast between a wicked judge versus a good father, and now he hears our prayer. And so, interesting enough, the parable, this next one, the one we're looking at today, is also about prayer. And which prayer is heard. I find it interesting just consider the contrast between these two parables and what Jesus is bringing out. Last week, the object of prayer by the widow and consequently for the follower was the prayer for justice. This week, it is the prayer for mercy that Jesus is highlighting. And so it's just interesting to see these contrasts. With that being said, we're going to look at these two characters, the Pharisee and the tax collector, and notice the contrast between these two. You're going to see some familiar themes throughout the book of Luke that was brought out today. So with that being said, I'm going to ask that you stand as we read together Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. And he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You may be seated. One of the things that we struggle with in this verse is that we've lost the understanding of righteousness. Most people don't pray for righteousness. Most folks, if you ask them exactly what does that mean, they might have a hard time defining righteousness, and much less wanting righteousness. But one way of understanding righteousness in a way that maybe we can understand and connect with is the idea of approval. To say that you're righteous is to say that you are approved by God, that there is a rightness about you that God sees as acceptable. We may not understand that as much, but we know what it is to want approval. Every child, when they grow into the sphere of their peers, start struggling with, how can I be approved by the others around me? I remember very keenly coming in, and even as a first grader, those memories that kind of hit you. I can, to this day, if I smell one of those block erasers, I smell my first day of school, and I don't like it. I don't like that smell. But part of it was this idea of, you know, all I knew was mom and dad, and now I had this teacher that I didn't really know, but somehow wanted her approval, and evidently coloring outside the lines did not meet her approval. I remember very distinctly crying at night because my teacher was mad at me because I did a fire truck and I just read all over it. But then not only was it the teachers, but then it was just the peers around you. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, there's some shoes that make you acceptable or not. And so I had to have the old Nikes, the little kind of fake leather Nikes. And then you had to have the special pocket. You had to have the trapper keeper that you could have and just looked right. And so everything was about making the right moves so that you could meet approval. And then as we learned, and I watched my kids and watched others, it's usually whatever thing that you find yourself easily good at. If you're easily good at it, then you start diving into it because then you can get approval on this. And so all through your life, it is this kind of effort of where can I go to get approval. Some people try church life and think, well, it's way too judgmental. I'll go somewhere else where I can get approval. And so it's interesting when we read this first bit, verse 9, notice who this parable is addressed to. People who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, approved, and treated others with contempt. Several weeks ago, we looked at one of the passages in Luke, and we learned this lesson that those things that we try to get our identity from, one of the ways we know we get our identity from it is because we tend to disdain others that don't have it. I use the illustration of laziness and work ethic, that we might have an easy disdain for laziness because we try to identify ourselves with a strong work ethic and we'll look down at others that don't have that same drive, that same energy. And that's just one example. For others, it might be a certain physical fitness level to say, look, if you don't have this level, then I'm going to look at you as a little bit less. For others, it might be their financial well-being and how they handle the finances. And so if you don't have that financial state, then you look down at others as a little bit less. And so there's a lot of things that we could work toward, whether it's fashion sense to our work, to our home decor. There's a lot of things that we try to find ourselves identity and approval by, and we'll look down at others. And so I just want to challenge you as we go into this. Who are the people you find yourselves looking down at? You naturally just tend to look down at them. Then ask yourself, what is the opposite of who they are? Could it be that you're trying to find approval out of that opposite virtue? Just a question as we go into this. And so that's who this parable is addressed to. And so we're going to look at two different people. We're going to look at the Pharisee, and we're going to look at the tax collector. Two people went up to pray in verse 10, one Pharisee, the other tax collector. And so let's look first at these two prayers that they're praying. And I want us to contrast a few things. So let's contrast first the standards of their prayer. As we look at these two people, what are the standards for their prayer? What are the standards for saying, I want to consider who I am before God, and they have certain standards by which they judge themselves. So let's look at the tax collector. So we read what's said there. I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners. Blackmailers, all right? Unjust. In other words, they treat other people differently according to their own what suits them. And he says, I'm not one of those. I treat people fairly. I'm not like an adulterer. I'm faithful to my spouse. I'm not even like this tax collector. We'll talk a little bit about what that meant. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. One of the things that we miss now, because we know the scripture, we know what Jesus has to say about Pharisees, we equal Pharisees with hypocrisy. They didn't do that back then. They equaled Pharisees with good men. Good men. I mean, think for a second of what this guy is saying. When you look outside of the negatives, he is saying that he tithes everything that he has. He's a generous man. He's not an adulterer. He's faithful to his spouse. He is fair in his dealings with others. He tends to make prayer a part of his lifestyle, in that he, in fact, fasts twice a week. And in that day, in the Bible, it says to fast on the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur, that was the one day out of the year. But this guy says, well, if it's good on that one day of the year, I'm going to make it part of my lifestyle, and I'm going to fast twice a week, and so doing, having some kind of prayer life. So he is a prayerful man, so it seems. What would you say about someone like that? Faithful to the wife, just in their dealings with others, generous, goes to church, is a praying person. It's the type of people we want our sons and daughters to grow into. It's the type of people we want to be. He is a good man. But the problem is the standards that he's comparing himself. Notice they're all external. They're all behavior. They're things that you can check off the box of your lifestyle. Because either you do it or you don't do it. Either you give or you don't. Either you fast or you don't. Either you commit adultery or you don't. And it's very external, the things that he's looking at. And then, as we consider that, consider what the fruit of the Spirit says, where the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. How external is that? I mean, there's certain outworkings, certainly of love and joy and peace, patience, but a lot of it starts in the inside of your heart, right? There isn't a check box where you say, okay, here is my joyful activity that I did today. Here is my patient activity that I did today. It is representing a characteristic that starts on the inside that will eventually have an outflow. But this man in his prayer starts on the outside. He says, consider all of my external behavior, these standards that I'm having to approve of myself. And much of the watching world would join him. You're a good man. Reminds me of the Flannery O'Connor short story. Remember, some of you had to read that in school? A good man is hard to find. Point of it being, all these external behaviors Flannery O'Connor was hitting on, that doesn't make you necessarily a good man. And so here's the other standard that you see. Notice who he's looking at. He's looking at the tax collector. Now, the tax collector, I've kind of shared this with you before, but in case you don't know, that these are the ones who are in league with the invading government, Rome. They're the ones who have come into the Israelite area and said, we establish by might our rule. And so Jews that were in it for the money said, hey, I'm good with that as long as I get a cut of the piece of the pie. And so they joined in with the Roman government. They were authorized to exert tax or exact taxes on the people, their own fellows. And they, Rome said, you know, set whatever rate you want as long as we get this rate. And so that's exactly what they did. You know, there were some some users' fees involved in this. And so, consequently, they were oftentimes extremely wealthy, and they were despised by their country people because they took advantage of the powers for their own wealth. They were hated. They were despised. And so this Pharisee is looking at this tax collector and consider the standard that not only was it these external things, but it's the people around him he's looking at. Say, so I'm better even than this dude right here. I'm better than others that I see. It's one of the stories that's been told is one of the Frederick the Prussian King going and visiting in one of the cells and prisons and was interviewing the various people in there, and they all had their stories of how they were framed and how they were innocent and misunderstood. But there was one man that was silent, and he just asked him, what's your story? Are you going to say anything as why you're not here? And the prisoner just said, no, I'm guilty, and I need to be here. I'm guilty. And the king, the story goes, says, let this guy out of prison before he corrupts the nature of all these innocent people in prison. Just the point of it being is, you know, even in prison, you can find someone a little bit worse off. Here's this man praying, and he has other people as a standard. Notice the prayer of the tax collector. We read this. Verse 13, tax collector standing far off would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's actually a definite article in front of the word sinner, so it's the sinner. Be merciful to me, the sinner. I am not approved. I acknowledge it. I'm not right with you, God. He doesn't have all the other people that he's bringing in. He doesn't bring out the external things that he's doing. Evidently, he's read the Word of God and identified him as someone who is a sinner. One of the great